This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to another song title challenge where the question is, climbers, how should you write this one, right? How should you write it? This is a fun creative exercise where climbers, otherwise known as listeners of this podcast, send in their song titles to info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S, info@daredevilproduction.com. Put STC or song title challenge in the subject line so it gets into the right folder. If you don't, it won't. And then I just sort of go perusing through the titles and find something that I think is going to be interesting. And I spring it live to Brent and our esteemed guest on the show. And we spend the next 20 minutes trying to cook up five or six different conceptual angles to write that song. So this is a muscle that we regularly flex here on the show every other week. It's an important muscle to flex because this is the difference between really an amateur song and a good song and a good song and a great song. Mm-hmm. It's the angle that you take on it. Sometimes the most obvious way to write the song based on the title is the right way, but mostly it's not. And going through this exercise will eliminate all of the cliche stuff out of the way first, and then just a little bit of 20 minutes of time and you're digging into the gold, right, Brent?
That's right.
And also what Brent's found out and what we've been preaching on the podcast is that this exercise is a fantastic way to revive new energy and new sort of life into your old hooks. Like, go back through your hook book, the stuff that it's like wilted lettuce, man. You haven't seen it for years and you just don't even go look back there anymore. Go back, pick out 20 song titles, pick your favorite one out of the 20 and do this exercise and watch what happens, right?
That's right.
Brent did it, got cuts, I tell you.
It's paying off for me. So we started doing it for the show.
Paying off.
I figured I got to find a way to do this for my own titles, and dadgum, it's working. So
there you go. You got anything you want to add to that, Brent, before we introduce our guest?
Yeah, just, this is for infotainment purposes. We just want to kind of model what might happen the first 10, 15 minutes of a pro songwriting session or what might happen somebody working alone to kind of prep for a co-write, just to encourage you to dig deeper. Hopefully we find stuff 5 or 10 minutes in that's cooler than what we came up with the first minute in. And hopefully that'll encourage you to dig deep and get the best songs possible.
And you know what? The angle on this is, we say this, but we can't say it enough. Like, the angle of the song is again, the difference between just a bland blasé song and then an iconic. So, I mean, if think about seeing the dance in a hook book and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
But then, frick, man, like Tony Arata gets a hold of it and you're like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, that's amazing. You know what I mean? And it starts with the angle of it first. Like, that didn't happen by accident, y'all. He did this kind of exercise and figured it out in his head. So here we go. Why don't you introduce our guest and then we'll get going.
Yeah. Today's guest is a new friend of mine. So he had the unfortunate pleasure of being seated next to me on the flight to Denmark for the National Nights International Songwriters Festival. All I knew was Johnny said, he's a vibe. You need to know this guy. And dadgummit, Johnny was right. Johnny rarely steers me wrong.
That's right.
He tried to steer me wrong a lot in Denmark.
But that was just alcohol, though. That's different.
That was. So, but unlike the alcohol, I'm good with unlimited amounts of today's guest. So he's from Alabama. He has great, we bonded over his great taste in hats, our mutual love for singer-songwriter David Wilcox, the North Carolinian. Not that we have any hate for the Canadian one, but the North Asheville one. Man, just, he knocked me out with his songs. He knocked everybody out with his songs. He's getting requests in Denmark for stuff. So he is just a vibe. So let's, hopefully I don't overplay this and he turns out being a complete dud. We never played in the sandbox together before, but his meme skills
never
are unmatched. And he kept us all in stitches. Welcome to The Climb, Eric Erdman.
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to the show, brother. Thank you for saying yes.
Good to see you, man.
Thank you. And with that introduction, I bid you adieu. Goodbye.
Yeah. You're like George Costanza. You go out on top. Go out on top. Man, I like your brain is so creative. I love your brain, dude.
Thank you.
Y'all, if you haven't looked at Eric Erdman as an artist, you need to.
Yes.
Because if you want to go to songwriting class on angles and how to be clever without being stupid or overly clever, then this is your man.
Thank you.
If you would, Eric, and I'm forgive me for putting you on the spot, but could you just recite the lyrics for the chorus of Who Is They? Because this is fantastic. You wrote that with Chad Wilson.
Play it. We'll have to recite it. Well, you can just do
it. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Bring it.
Who is they? Well, how do they know? Is they a secret cabal looking down on us all from a place we ain't allowed to go? Is they an annual convention? Do they hold an exposition? Are they the brightest minds of our day? Who can say? Who is they?
Wow, so good.
That's so freaking brilliant, man. And you were getting requests for that in Denmark, which is awesome.
It's just a vehicle to get the word cabal in a song, really. A lot of my catalog is really...
And make it not sound like you're a terrorist. Yeah.
What vocabulary word can we start with?
I was about to say, you aren't scared of some like 25-cent words, dollar words, maybe even in your songs, which is fun.
Don't always land it, but it's fun to try.
You got to try. Man, I put spork in a song one time. I got a cut, but they changed it to fork.
It still counts in my book.
But then somebody else cut it and they put spork back in, so it's all good.
I still count it as having spork.
That did. Yeah, spork. So there we go.
I love it.
All right. So we got, are you guys ready to go here? You want to give a shout?
Man, never ever, but let's do it.
Yeah, man.
All right. So this is from Joe Bagalki. Bagalk, I forget. We've done his titles before, I think.
Yes, we have.
Is it Bagalki or Bagalk? I'm sorry, Joe.
I'm going to say Bagalki, but I've never actually talked to him other than online. So
I think it's Bagalki. So, Joe, if I'm screwing that up for 1,000, I'm sorry. It's 1,000 apologies. But Joe is a regular climber, so we're excited to have that. And this song title, guys, is Plastic Ponies.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Plastic Ponies.
Plastic Ponies,
right. I like the alliteration in it.
Yeah.
Okay. This one just kind of jumped out with me because Eric.
Right.
So I just thought I'm dying to see where he's going to take this thing to.
Well, instantaneously, I think of a nostalgia song where the person, or a dreaming song where the person's cowboy riding the range, mm-hmm. and all the poncho and lefty dust and the things. And really, it's the 8-year-old outside of the dime store on the plastic ponies on this thing where you put the quarter in it.
Oh yeah, you put the quarter in the ride the little machine outside like your Safeway.
When you do like a reveal in the chorus or something,
yeah, where you don't
it all sounds legit up until.
Yeah, it's like Wild Bill's getting the bad guy and all the thing, the dust and whatever, and then you go, and then Mom comes out with the bags, and I gotta go, and the horse is still riding, and I'm like, the chorus is the reveal.
Yeah, it's your quarter horse.
I like for real. That.
Yeah.
I like that. That's the bad. I like that. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's one. That's an angle.
Yeah, and it could be kind of like a mix of Billy Dean's song, Billy the Kid. I Miss Billy the Kid.
Uh-huh.
Talks a little bit about that simpler time when he was out with his riding that stick horse or whatever, and now he's grown up and he kind of misses the simplicity of that. So you could do kind of that kind of thing too. First thing I thought of was like, I don't know if it's because of the word plastic or whatever, but I thought of like my daughter Ruby Jean, you know, like ponies, I guess, because of My Little Pony. And so I thought of a more kind of girl kind of take on it about plastic ponies and princesses and all that kind of thing, too, about could be like a even a, like a father-daughter song about knight in shining armor on a plastic pony and that kind of thing.
If you want to get all like, you wanted to get all like, I'm the man, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to do that kind of thing where like, you could be like, I'm a Harley guy. Like I ride an iron horse and all these people on their little
plastic ponies. Pony. Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, you know, you could go.
I like that. On little rice grinding plastic ponies, right? Like,
get out of here. You'll ride with me. I'm on an iron horse.
Oh.
Well, I'm on the iron horse with the big dogs. You can be down there in the yard with the puppies and the plastic ponies. Yeah,
I love that iron horse versus plastic ponies.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
good.
That could definitely be that kind of thing too. I mean, I don't know how much you could do, like, because it kind of has some of that hip hop swagger too.
I don't know, that's what I meant. I feel like you'd have to do, you know, some kind of blues. Blues always had that I'm better than you. Hip hop's kind of got that thing where it, like, braggadocious, like, I'm the man kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be really cool. I'm thinking of plastic too, just playing off that. I think a credit card. Like, how is that? I'm going to ride that plastic pony till his legs fall off.
I like that. That might be my favorite one so far.
Okay, that could be good. That could be like, it could be talking about the girl too, kind of like it's a business doing pleasure with you thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the girl. Like, she's riding that plastic pony into the ground.
I'm loving it. That might be my favorite so far. Yeah. But I don't know.
What about kind of, Eric, what you're talking about at the beginning, just that nostalgic kind of thing about growing up. And it's like, man, kind of like it's now that I'm an adult and I'm having to do adulting, like it ain't just plastic ponies anymore. Cool. Like this stuff is for real. I wonder if there's like a female version of it where it's like, I'm still waiting on some boy to show up riding a plastic pony, but, or they still are like, I'm tired of boys kind of thing. I'm ready for kind of a man.
Right.
But these still, you got these little,
man, that's like two different ones right there. I think I would count that as two separate, and both of them are valid.
Yeah.
Really cool.
There's a couple of things.
There's something you could take, speaking of Denmark and amazing songwriters, mm-hmm. Dan Smalley mm-hmm. sort of spin on that, like he did with Truth Is I'm Just More Broomstick Side Cowboy and a side of cowboy and a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where he's just talking about like truth is mostly I'm just shooting from the hip, where it's just sort of self, just sort of a real thing of like, man, maybe this thing looks like an iron horse, but really, sometimes I just feel like it's a plastic pony, maybe. Oh,
That's
a little imposter syndrome kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid they're going to find out, you know, this iron horse is just a plastic pony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if it's too, is like, and this is out there, but like internet haters and trolls, man, they're acting all big and bad, but like we see just a bunch of juveniles riding plastic ponies trying to act like cowboys, internet cowboys.
Internet cowboys riding plastic ponies.
Yeah, like got nothing.
That would be a great like kind of pop song for like a young female pop artist. Just shake off the haters and let all the kids know that the words aren't violence. And
they think they're Doc Holliday, but they're from the Just Okay Corral.
The Just Okay. Just
Okay. Let's see.
The only tombstone they've seen is the pizza. I don't know. All the puns.
All the puns, exactly. Plastic ponies. Yeah, I like the alliteration. And it's trying to think of, the obvious thing is like the kid cowboy kind of thing, which is valid, but like trying to twist it beyond that to see if there's something that like is simple and makes sense, but it's not what you do.
Okay, I got one. Yeah. I got one. You could go dark.
Okay.
You could talk about, it could be a song about a gambling addiction, and it all started with plastic ponies.
Mm.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And then grew to, now I bet on everything.
Yeah. Here's a different angle on this being like, don't count me out, like, because I'm a dreamer and I'll do it by any means. But you like, I'm riding the broomstick, the plastic pony, whatever. And then say, put your money on the dark horse, because even though I'm on a plastic pony, I'm still going to like.
Oh, put your money on the dark horse.
I like that.
Okay. Okay. I got another one.
Any of these.
I got another one. Okay, you know, kids get together, they play cowboys and Indians and like, you know, Boy Scout. We have army men, stuff like that. What if it's a love story, like Check Yes or No kind of a thing, like that's in grade school when you're a little kid and you fell in love with her when you first saw her with the plastic ponies or something like that?
Yeah. Or like, you know, would you be the one to ride on my plastic pony with me into the sunset, you know, kind of deal?
Make it totally adorable. Like just two little 6-year-old kids.
But I kind of like that when Brent said before, I mean, that's kind of, it's all, those are all kind of shooting off of the same kind of
nostalgia thing.
Playing with the little ponies. But I like the, like it's not all plastic pony. Like somehow you said it, I thought was probably the most valid. If I were going to write this right now, I would have jumped on that one where it's like, I got it all figured out. But like now that it's not just plastic ponies, now what, you know, now what do you do? We've grown up, you're a little Jackie Paper after Puff has gone away or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, this is real,
that's real,
the real world.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a song about like a building up to a proposal.
Oh,
and maybe that's what he's telling her. You know, it's not just plastic ponies anymore. Now we got to get real.
Yeah. Like my love, I had a crush on you when we were kids and it was just like everybody, but this is more than that.
Yeah.
It's not just plastic ponies.
That's cool. You know, you could do a cowboy song too, though. I mean, it has to be a modern day because plastic, right? It couldn't be like a throwback kind of thing, but more of a modern day thing where like he's trying to keep the ranch together. I don't know, maybe go watch some episodes of Yellowstone or something and get your mind right or wrong. I haven't watched it, but you know, we're like, growing up is fun being cowboy and doing that kind of stuff, plastic ponies. But now it's like, I do this crap to feed my family. Maybe it's a rodeo thing.
Ooh.
You know, where he's got to, it ain't just plastic ponies he's riding anymore. And he's got to make that 8-second ride to kind of.
Oh, keep, I like
keep the family
that.
Together. That's like, cool. It was fun when I was pretend, but now this it's not so fun anymore.
Well, you know, and that could be, hold on. So you could take that to another step. I'm building on what you said, Brent, and kind of relate it to when fun and creativity, the intersection of that and business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it used to be plastic ponies and now it's so much more than that. And it's also like business decisions, but not just creative decisions.
Yeah.
Does it have to be plastic pony or can we put a comma in there?
No, you can do that. Yeah. You can put a comma in there. You can put anything in front of it, anything behind
it. About the rodeo got me thinking it could be about some barrel racer. Like what is the plastic barrel, like plastic ponies and 50 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Plastic ponies and speed or whatever. Yeah. You know, like whatever.
Plastic ponies and speed.
I don't know.
Oh, I like that.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I like that a lot. That'd be so cool to name the song too, just plastic, comma ponies.
They'd be like, what the heck is that?
You don't have, it's almost like you're winning before you're spinning. What the hell does this mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you did that, plastic ponies and.
Oh, plastic
buckle bunnies.
Or plastic ponies. And I'm going to need a raise because it's the dad that wanted to get his daughter the pony, but he's got to put it on the plastic and now he needs a raise.
Oh, that's good. That's good, dude.
That's good. Yeah. So it's just all about like a dad trying to raise a daughter.
Just like I'm going to be painting on that horse till it's glue.
That's good. That's going in there for sure.
Yeah.
Ouch. Oh, my God. So what could come before plastic ponies and what could come after plastic ponies?
Man, thinking of, I mean, I guess it's kind of in the air because of the Denmark thing. One of the songs like Terry Joe and Barrett, and I think maybe Scott wrote as well. Yeah. Was that God Bless the Boy, you know, for Cody Johnson. And I wanted to, you know, you're looking at the daughter thing, she's playing with the plastic ponies, like the My Little Ponies or whatever. And it's like, man, I hope, you know, one day she like, I don't know, thing like a real cowboy kind of thing, or she's like in the best sense of the word, like honest, hardworking, salt of the earth, not right away into the sunset kind of thing.
Yeah,
I wonder if that could be a thing. Looking at her, thinking about her future, and which I have an 8-year-old daughter, I don't want to think about that. But
still,
yeah. if you have to.
You definitely don't want to think about it right off in the sunset with some punk.
Yeah, exactly.
Cowboy guy that's not good.
Not good. No. Good thing her brothers won't be big. Her big brothers, huge. So let's see, plastic ponies. This is interesting. There's a lot of stuff here.
Maybe even put that in there. Good thing her big brothers are big.
Exactly.
Plastic ponies on the other side of the fence.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll be too old by the time she's riding off in the sunset, but good thing her big brother's big. Sick 'em.
I do love the comparison thing too, just because when you talk about if it's a nostalgic thing and you're just talking about, let's say, the difference between how they make cars now and what they used to make. You know what I mean? Where it was like American heavy metal, eight cylinder engines, and now it just feels like a lot of plastic ponies because you're kind of talking about horsepower. It could be like minimizing horsepower.
It could be about the music business.
Yeah. Go on.
Like, about the music business. Like, oh, we had real artists back when whatever, and now it seems like a bunch of plastic ponies, show ponies.
Show ponies.
That kind of thing. You know, it's like they're not really
plastic ponies and dancing chickens.
Exactly. Sometimes I feel like a dancing chicken. Which, you know, nothing endears the music industry to you more than taking shots at the music industry. So I'm not sure if I'd like that one, but
not to get on a tangent in the middle of our songwriting thing, but do y'all know Terry Jo's story about the dancing chicken? Has she ever told you that?
No.
She was back. I'll try to make it fast. She was back home visiting with one of her best friends, and they went out to some club or something or a restaurant. And these guys came up and they were just trying to hit on them very poorly, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're like, "Oh, get away from me."
Yeah.
And so the guys, they're trying anything to start a conversation. And they're like, "What do you do?" And she's like, "Well, I do this." And go, "What do you do?" And go, "Well, she's a songwriter in Nashville." And they go, "Oh," and they get all excited. And they're like, "Well, what? Sing us something." And so she's just being funny, like, "No." She's like, "Dance, chicken, dance." And the dude went, "You wrote the chicken dance?" They thought TJ wrote.
She's like,
so she just said, "Yep,
I was a lyricist on that."
Yeah. Anyway, so
I saw
now
Vince Neil do that. I saw Vince Neil from like, Molly Crew.
Yeah, she wrote the chicken.
That's hysterical, man. Anyway. Well, I think we got some good looks at it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could. There's at least three of those. I'd be down to write. We could. Seriously, right? No problem.
Yeah,
I think. Hell yeah! No, those are really good, man. Eric, that was great. Right out of the gate, just totally twisted around something I never would have thought of. That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
You're a little warped, and that's why we're friends.
I'm very warped. are you familiar with the Sting song "Perfect Love Gone Wrong"?
No, I'm not.
I use the what you're doing with this is brilliant and so important to just try to think outside the box, even if you don't ever write that song, but it's. It's just good, like you said, muscle in your brain to flex. In the song, Sting, the whole song is just the main character's love has a new man and he's jealous. You're like, okay, well, that's boring. I've heard that 4 million times. Yeah. Only thing is, it's from the perspective of her dog. It's the dog is jealous of her new boyfriend. And it's like, once you do that, you can write the whole song in 10 minutes because the only certain things a dog would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It informs your whole script or what your whole lyric just like that. Yeah. And it goes from being another lame jealousy song to engage, like just you're in it immediately. Like, you know,
one of the ones that we're proud of, one of the episodes we're proud of is somebody wrote in and had the song titled The Request.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just kind of thinking about it and the request, this, the request, that. And then I think the last one we came up with was like, okay, you've got your songwriter that's out there doing the grind like you're doing, touring all around, doing the whole thing, playing with the band, packed house, front of people, and they're taking requests. When he reaches in and sees a $50 bill, so he's going to pull out that request first, and he's on the road, and it's like from his wife, who's in the audience, right? And what would she say? And the people...
she's like, come home.
Come home. Like the only request I have is just come home and blah, blah. And so it's just like all of a sudden then somebody reached out to the person that sent in the title. It's like, I know how to write this. Will you write this with me? And then they wrote it. It's been demoed. It's like super cool, man.
Yeah.
So it's super fun. But yeah,
that gave me another idea though that I'll throw out there. So plastic ponies, think about from the point of view. What if it's from the point of view of the plastic ponies? And almost like a little toy story where like everyone's inside on their screens. And like plastic ponies, like put out to pasture, or plastic ponies still want to ride. God. Like, get out, get friggin' outside a little bit. And I mean, you could write it from an outside perspective, really kind of judge young kids these days, or it could be from the perspective of the plastic ponies. No. Like, come on, man, we want to run.
No. Yeah. That's what it's more like that. It's just another version of Puff the Magic Dragon, man. Like that's the deal. Like, I think that's brilliant to be like, he used to play with me all the time and one of the things, but at some point they quit playing me and never picked me up again.
Yeah.
And I'm built to run.
Yeah.
Built to run.
Oh, and thing. And it's I need like, your I'm legs. Sitting in the car. I need your legs. Come on. I'm just a right. stick.
Oh man. That's awesome, man. Dude, these are some good looks, bro. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah,
I hope you had a good time.
Hey, Eric, you got a new record out. Where can folks find you and like bask in the glory?
You can find all my stuff if you just look up Eric Erdman Music. But if my new album's called Enough and it's on all the platforms.
So E-R-D-M-A-N Erdman.
Yep.
Eric, yeah, and I will tell you that this is a writing talent in Nashville, y'all, that even though he's from Alabama, but he's in all the rooms. He's in all the big rooms. Like it's just, he's moments away. So all the best on that. I know it's just you're one marquee value win away from your whole catalog becoming gold, right? That's how it works.
Not sure about that, but I like the way you think.
Well, right on, y'all. So listen, send your song titles in to info@daredevilproduction.com. Put STC in the subject line or song title challenge. And who knows, maybe we're going to get some brilliant genius on the show to help us flesh out some ideas. I want to see where this Plastic Ponies thing goes. You were mentioning from the thing of the pony, there's an artist, she was on The Voice, Melanie Martinez is her name. And she's got a song called Dollhouse. And that whole song is written from the perspective of a really, really dark home, mm-hmm. from the perspective of what the dolls see.
Oh,
yeah.
Ew.
And if you haven't heard that song, man, you got to go check that out and just listen to the lyrics on that. And it's all like Stepford Wives, like dad's sleeping with somebody else, mom drinking to forget that dad's sleeping with somebody else. And it's just
yikes.
This horrific family situation. But this is what the dolls see. And I think that might be the whole record too. Like it might be a concept album on the whole record like that. But definitely the song Dollhouse, Dollhouse.
M-I-C-E-K.
Something you don't see what I see. You know, it's talking about the dolls see everything because they're inside, right? So interesting. What you're like, you're right, man. When you change that perspective from the dog or from the pony to the respect to the pony.
Now, you don't want to do that every song. Then it starts becoming like, all right, come on, just write a song like, hey, I love you, and make it make sense. Like, don't do that. Right. Like, it's fun to spin the room.
And on that note, before we say goodbye, I will say this. Like, Josh Roy, the artist that I'm working with now, and Blue Foley and Trick Savage wrote, did this exact thing on a song. I absolutely love the song. We didn't cut it because I feel like it's like a Bluebird song maybe. And it won't necessarily appeal to the masses, but it's so genius. It's called I Don't Decide. And it's about like the whole Nashville grind and the music business per se, but from the perspective of the honky tonk.
Like it doesn't decide who makes it.
Oh, that.
I don't decide. I've seen them come and I've seen them go and come right back again. Some that make it, some that won't, a superstar now and then. They get up on my big stage hoping for that big time ride. But at the end of it all, I'm just a honky tonk. I don't decide.
I'll buy that right now.
it's so cool. But that really puts a chill factor in it when you do like the surprise perspective on that. What a great tool. Just a great tool to always have in the toolbox.
Yep.
Wait, what's the perspective on it from?
I'm not speaking strictly for myself, but for me, like you were saying earlier, a thing that'll take an average song and make it worse. Well, the thing that'll take an average song and make it better, it, a lot of times people miss is focus. Like that's such a huge important part, no matter what style, no matter what you're doing. You only have in popular music 3 to 4-ish minutes on average. You're going to have a minute or a minute and a half of intro in between music, outro. So now you're down to like a minute and a half and the chorus repeats. So every iteration, that's not new intel. So now you have about a minute to stand up at a podium and tell a room full of people that never heard you a story. And if you sound like you don't know what you're talking about, or you're confused, they're gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So by doing this thing that we're doing, like I was saying with the Sting song, before you wrote a lyric, because that was the concept, you already are informed of what you're allowed to say because you set these characters up, and these characters will only say certain things.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, because you made the honky tonk the thing, you already know what it can say and what it should say and what it shouldn't say. But so it's a little bit of a trick, but it's a good trick.
It sure is.
It's super cool, man. Well, thank you, Eric. What a great, and that's never heard anybody put it that way, but that's really, you're right. Like, you got 1 minute to get them to tell a story. And if you don't sound like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I have found most of the time, like, you know, people that haven't been experienced writing a lot, like what it makes a rookie song sound rookie. And it's, that's what it is. They start out and they go, love is good, but sometimes it's not. And one time I was in a car and then she broke my heart. But then I had this dog and it's like, well, if you don't know what you're like saying, like, I'm gone.
These jeans, like, make me look fat. I should buy a boat.
Like, all of those things are legitimate, but why don't you write 20 songs out of that? What you just told me. That's too much. One song.
Hey, that's right. You don't have to do a concept record. How about just a concept song? That would be great.
yes, that'd be great.
Funny. All right, y'all, this is Eric Erdman, E-R-D-M-A-N. You can find him everywhere at Eric Erdman Music, and go check out his new release called Enough. That it's an album, right?
Yes.
And just dig it. You want to go to school? Mm-hmm. You want to learn about lyrics and focus? This is your record to do it. Thank you so much, Eric. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
The song is, we made this podcast because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.